Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. We want to continue our thoughts in from verse 31. Where we've labeled this six vices, or we could say six besetting sins that are sins that are common to man, they're common to you and I, even as saved individuals from time to time, probably wrestle with them. But we have, concerning our walk, we have here instructions to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Be put away from you, along with malice. Six of them that are to be put away, put off. We might say, last week, if you remember, we covered bitterness and wrath, and we try to cover those thoughts and topics by using scriptures and wherein they're used so that we might get an understanding of it. Bitterness being bitter gall, it's an external wickedness. It's a bitter root. It's something that we know what bitter is. It's not palatable. It's not palatable for a child of God. It's not palatable for Ephesian church members to be in bitterness. It's not palatable for members of Grace Baptist Church to be in bitterness. Along with that, wrath. It's a passion of anger. It's indignation. It's indignation. We looked at examples of where the word wrath was used last week. Again, that is something that's not palatable for a child of God. It's not palatable for church members to be given to indignation, to be given to wrath. As we considered several weeks ago, dealing with the subject of be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. We discussed the thought of righteous indignation, righteous anger, righteous wrath. But even then, even in those moments of righteous indignation, we're not to let it roost for any length of time. We're to be angry with sin, and then we're to let go of it. Today our word is anger. Anger, and it means anger, the natural disposition. That's the Greek meaning of it. Anger, the natural disposition. It is also indignation. It is vengeance. It is anger acting out in vengeance. So quickly we can see that how that it ought not to have a part in our lives. We want to look at some scriptures where were used. And gives us an idea. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 and verse 7. Concerning John the Baptist, said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? That word translated wrath there is the same word that is translated anger back there in Ephesians 4:31. It's a indignation. But here, the wrath to come, the indignation, the vengeful indignation that is to come is a righteous indignation and a righteous wrath of God that's going to be revealed from heaven upon subject. But you and I are not the judge, jury, and executioner, so to speak. That's in the hands of the judge. That's in the hands of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and not us. Also in the book of Mark, in chapter 3, Mark chapter 3, and verse 5, says, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, the Lord Jesus Christ looked around round about upon those with those people there with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. Those unbelieving, those ones who, because of the hardness of their hearts, wouldn't believe and wouldn't allow him, didn't want to allow him this fortitude of healing this man. Jesus was in anger. He was in indignation. And he grieved. You see, there again, a righteous indignation. Because of the hardness of their hearts. You know, it just shows us as we talked about this morning, the love of mankind. You see, it angered him. It grieved him that they would not hear, that they would not believe, and he laid it to the hardness of the hearts, that they were rebellious and hard-hearted. Again, in the book of Luke, the 21st chapter, the book of Luke in chapter 21, in verse 23, Jesus says, but woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. In vengeance. Vengeful indignation. That word wrath there again is the same Greek word that is translated anger in our text in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. And of course this is the anger, the vengeance of God being carried out in those days. Days of tribulation. You're going to be carried out upon this earth, going to be carried out upon his people, Israel, because of their rejection of him, because of their rebellion against him. You see, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we that are saved love this verse, as we should. But our word is used here in this verse. John chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Amen. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, the anger of God, the vengeful indignation of God abideth on him, abides on those that don't believe. There again, these instances are instances of righteous indignation, righteous vengeance, but the carried out by the righteous judge. And you and I are anything but righteous in our judgment. You just think about our judgment that we exercise of people, of individuals on a daily basis. We look at individuals and we say, how could they? Why do they? Well, we ought to look back to ourselves and say, well, how could I? Why do I? You see, we're not the righteous judge. But he's the righteous judge. In him is no sin. He came and he took flesh and blood upon him, and he did not sin. Amazing, isn't it? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. As we said this morning, he was the perfect sacrifice. And his work was perfect. Praise God for that. Romans 1:18. The book of Romans in 1:18. And after this, we'll only have a couple more on this. Like maybe a couple more. But in verse 18, after telling us in verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There again, that word wrath is the same Greek word in our text, anger, meaning indignation, vengeance, vengeful indignation. And here in Romans 1 and 18, it tells us that the righteous, vengeful indignation of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness. And you can go on down and read the rest of that chapter and see how that it's revealed upon the ungodly. And they just become more so ungodly because they rebel and they reject and they refuse him. Turn with me to the book of Psalms now. You see, God, he's angry with the wicked. He's indignant with the wicked every day. Every day. You know, and I realize that these thoughts in these passages of scriptures that we're exposing go contrary to the message of Christendom today. The message of Christendom today is why God loves everybody. Well, God loves you. And they don't portray him as a God of wrath and a God of vengeance, taking vengeance and wrath upon those who disobey him, those who do not believe. But as we see from the verses we read, he does. He does. Chapter 7 of Psalms and verse 11, where we read, God judgeth the righteous. I'm glad he judges me. He's going to be my judge. And he judges you, and he's going to be your judge. God is angry. He's what? He's indignant. Indignation. He's full of indignation. He's angry with the wicked every day. Why? Because they're sinners who will not repent. They're unbelieving sinners, and they will not repent of their sin. Now, you and I, though, as we said, we're to put off this, as our text tells us. Also, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, also, he tells the Colossians there the same thing. He said in verse 8, he said, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, and malice. I mean, all forms of indignation. Indignation, vengeful indignation, even malice. Why should you and I put it off? We refer to it because we're not the judge. It's not our place to execute vengeance. We can, as we've seen from a verse, few verses back, we can be angry with sin, a righteous anger, a righteous indignation. But that's as far as it goes. We're not to strike out in anger. For you and I to strike out in that kind of thing, it becomes sin. So he said, be angry, have that righteous indignation against sin, and sin not. You see, when we strike out, when we take vengeance into our hands, it becomes sin. One more, I told you just two, but one more comes to mind. Turn with me to the book of Romans in chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And of course, on this subject of vengeance, we could read many others, how that you and I are not to have vengeance. In verse 17, Romans 12, 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of God, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And the reason for that is, as we've said already many times, we're not righteous in our judgment. But God is righteous. He is righteous. He's the righteous judge. And so we know that his judgment is right, and his justice will be fair, and it will be meted out to whom he wills. I was going to say to whom he pleases. You see, you and I are deserving. I was going to say to whom deserving. You and I are deserving, but because of his grace and mercy, we'll not experience his vengeance, his vengeful indignation. The next word that he tells us that we're to put away, clamor. We mentioned it last week as a word that we don't use too much. How many of you know what it means? If I'd asked you last week, I would expect no hand. But because I'm asking you this week, and I mentioned it last week at the end, I expect that you went home and checked it out. No, no one did. Clamor. It's a crying out. We say an outcry. An outcry and can be in notification. Outcry in tumult or an outcry in grief. But as we think about it as a word that is something that is to be put off, it's something that for you and I to do would be sinful. So it's an outcry, a crying out for vengeance, an outcry of vengeance, wanting vengeance. So you can immediately see where it stems from. It stems from those words that we were talking about, bitterness and wrath and anger. It stems from that indignation and that wrath and that evil wickedness that is in every man. An outcry for vengeance. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And verse 6, we'll read concerning the 10 virgins. It says, and at midnight, there was a cry made. There's our word, cry. There was an outcry made. There was a notification made that he's come. The bridegroom has come. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. You see the outcry there? He's come. It was an announcement. It was an outcry of notification. That's the meaning of the word. That's our word. That's here. Acts chapter 23. The book of Acts in chapter 23. Acts 23. In verse 9. Of course here, Paul is giving defense, and he is aware of the fact that there's Sadducees present and there's Pharisees present. So he, believing in the resurrection, he uses the resurrection as part of his defense here, which he knows will anger the Sadducees and pit the Sadducees against the Pharisees. Well, verse 9 says, and there arose a great cry. That's our word. Well, you can just imagine when Paul did that, the outcry from the Sadducees especially, and probably the Pharisees were crying out, yeah, you're right, you know, and honor. But there was a great cry that arose. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. I mean, they sided with Paul. And we don't find any evil in him. He's on our side. He believes in the resurrection. But those Sadducees didn't like that. So we have our word used. There was an outcry that went forth, whether they were outcrying in jubilation, announcement of Paul's force, or whether it was the Sadducees crying out against him and crying out against the Pharisees. But, as we said, as it is used in our text, crying, it is a crying out for vengeance, stemming from that wrath, that anger that is in there. You ever been there? I've been there. I've been there. More times than I'd like to admit, I've been there. I've been filled with wrath. I've been beyond wrath. I've been filled with that anger, that vengeful indignation, and crying out for get even. Get vengeance. It is a loud outcry that flows out of wrath and anger, crying for vengeance. We find this in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 14. The book of Revelation, chapter 14. And here, again, this is an outcry for vengeance coming from the righteous one. Coming from the righteous one. Revelation 14 and verse 18. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry. There's our word. To him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for his grapes are fully ripe. And I'll cry to destroy them, to gather in the harvest, and to destroy the enemies. You see, it was an outcry for vengeance. In man, this kind of outcry in man, the natural man, that's what we're talking about. These are things, vices of the natural man. They're to be put away from us. Found in us, it leads to evil speaking. It leads to evil speaking. And so he said, and evil speaking. We're to put away evil speaking. Well, that kind of pricks our mind and our conscience of what we had concerning corrupt language. Corrupt speech. Doesn't it? Well, he emphasizes again, and evil speaking. It's a word that means slander. It's a word that means, it means blasphemy. That's probably where it's used the most. Especially against God. Especially against God. That's the meaning of this word. As I think about that, I think, you ever cry out, why God?
Is that taking his name in vain? Is that evil speaking? It is speech which is injurious to another. Slander, blasphemy. You can see where it would be injurious to another. Get this. In the New Testament here, it is used 19 times, this word, and 16 of those times, it is rendered blasphemy. Blasphemy. Wasn't that long ago we looked at a couple of usages. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 12. The book of Matthew in chapter 12 and verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy, there's our word, shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy, there's our word again, against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You know what kind of evil speaking is now? We said as it pertains to, particularly as it pertains to evil speaking against God. Blasphemy against God. Of course, here it was blasphemy in that it was attributing the works of God to be the works of Satan. That's dangerous now. He said, he shall never have that sin forgiven him. Well, the elect can't commit that sin then, can they? I believe wholeheartedly that God has elect people, and that concerning the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, God protects them, the elect, from ever committing that sin. Because it won't be forgiven. And there are men and women all around us that commit that sin and have down through the ages committed that sin. Turn with me to the 26th chapter now. 26th chapter of Matthew. And look here, verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. Now that's what the high priest charged Jesus with. Charged Jesus with speaking blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. Word again. In other words, the high priest accused Jesus of evil speaking, and we know that Jesus didn't blaspheme. He didn't use speech that was injurious to another. He didn't use speech that was blaspheming God. He himself was God. He was blaspheming himself. He didn't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. He didn't. In fact, he said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, can a house divided against itself stand? In other words, if Jesus spoke evil of the Holy Spirit or spoke evil of the Father, then he would have been divided against himself. The
it's not Saul.
If you get the word blasphemy there, look at one more passage here. We're not going to look at all 16 of them. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And we read verse 7. Jesus telling this man sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Notice that, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the old Pharisee says in verse 7, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God only? You see, there again, the old Pharisee charging Jesus for having spoken blasphemy, so he said, son, thy sins be forgiven. What they're saying is he was blaspheming against John, because only John has the power to forgive sins. But they see they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know him to be the God man,
Christ Jesus. Then our next word and last word, vice, sin, is malice. Said concerning those five, he said, that they be put away from you with all malice, along with all malice. Not just those five things, but all malice as well. That's the way I would say. I'd name those five and then say, and I'd say, and malice, all malice as well. And he said, along with all malice. Malice is evil, shall we say, intentions? Evil intent? Evil purposes? It's wickedness. It's wicked intents. You intend to do wickedness. It is ill will. Particularly against another. It's a desire to injure, which is wicked. It's evil. It's ill will. Some examples we have. Turn with me, and just two of them. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts in chapter 8. Chapter 8. Verse 22. And here, you understand that Philip had been preaching. And there was this man named Simon. He believed. And when he seen that the apostle, Philip, had the power to lay hands on others and they received the Holy Ghost, he desired that ability. And so in verse 22, it says, and starting to repent, Peter says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. That's our word. Your wicked intents to make gain from the gift of God. To think that you can buy the gift of God.
It was wickedness. It was malice.
It was a wicked intent. Although it went against another, it was trying to profit from that which was given of the Lord. One more, Romans 1. Romans 1, part of that wrath of God that is revealed from heaven, being poured out. In verse 29, it says that these individuals, he's talked about it down through here, and we're familiar with this chapter, we know it well. He says in verse 29, he says, they're filled with all unrighteousness. They're filled with fornication. They're filled with wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. They're filled with ill will. They're filled with evil, wicked intents and purposes.
Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers.
We're filled with all those things, but our word is malicious. Our word is evil, wicked intent, purposes. That's our world today. That's the world which you and I live in. But it's not to be a part of me as a Christian. As a Christian. It's not to be a part of you as a Christian. It's not to be a part of you as a church member. He's speaking to the Ephesian church. Members of the Ephesian church. He's speaking to members of the Great Baptist Church today. It's not to be a part of our life. None of these six things. None of these things that we've looked at from verse 17 on are to be a part of our life except being angry and sinning not. That's the only thing we've been given leave for, other than doing that which is becoming a new creation in Christ Jesus.
Let us consciously make sure there's no bitterness in us. There's no, make sure that we're not given to wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking or malice. Let those things be put away, or as he said in the book of Colossians chapter 3, put off these things. All right, shall we stand, be dismissed in word.